All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this Resurrection Sunday morning here at Trinity Baptist Church, and trying to get things back to normal a little bit, and where I think we're on the way back up the hill to being able to gather together and worship together as a church. Remind you, we will be back again tonight with another group at 6 p.m. We invite you to tune back in for that as well. So we're going to get started. It is what we call Easter Sunday. So we're going to start on page 132. We do have a small group with us here trying to obey the laws and guidelines that the state has given and do the best we can within the laws that the Bible says, render unto Caesar those things which are Caesar and unto the Lord's those which are the Lord's. And so that's what we're doing here today. Glad y'all are here, those that are able to get here. Our first little group this morning. We're going to start on page 132, He Lives. Miss Wanda, I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able as we sing He Lives.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living. Whatever men may say, I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. Though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. Of all who seek Him, the help of all who find, none other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen.
Well, good morning, Trinity Baptist Church. You may be seated. Go ahead and be seated if you will. I won't ask you to stand that long. Do want to welcome you. I just want to let the people know at home, I got my tape measure. I'm measuring everybody, making sure they're 6 feet apart. And so we do want to welcome you to Easter services, Resurrection Day. You know, I saw on Fox News this morning that the calls to the mental health hotline have gone up 850%. And I also saw that the alcohol sales have gone up 50%. And we're living in America today where a liquor store can have a drive-through as an essential on the Lord's Day. But many churches, they're shutting down their drive-through parking on Easter Sunday because private property, and they're in the car, they're 6 feet apart, but it's not essential. So I'm glad we live in a state where we can at least have 10 gather together during this virus. And so our Attorney General Barr and the DOJ has already said they're going to be investigating this because, you know, I don't mind to voluntarily stay, you know, do what we do voluntarily for the public health, but don't make it mandatory. You violate our constitutional and our religious liberties. And so that disturbs me. So Barr is going to be looking into that next week. So we're glad that you're here. Let the crowd know at home that you're here, church.
Amen.
All right, you're here? We got about 800 here this morning. So they really sing out loud there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for sending your only begotten Son, who became man, became as one of us, who lived in perfect righteousness, perfect obedience to the law, satisfied the righteous demands of you, Father, that sin must be punished, and he went to the cross in our place, died in our place as our substitute, because we could not ever attain enough perfect obedience or righteousness to get to heaven. But we thank you that when we repented of our sin was placed upon Christ, and his righteousness, when we believe in him, his righteousness was imputed to us, that we might be able to be forgiven, have our sins forgiven, and a home in heaven. And we thank you for Easter this morning, a message of hope. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to share a few announcements with you. We're here this morning because the tomb is empty. And he lives in us. He lives in our hearts. And I want the church here to bear with me as I read to the church that is in their home on Facebook what I've got in the bulletin. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means five things. Number one, redemption accomplished. Jesus lived in complete obedience to the Father and our all-sufficient sacrifice for our sins. Our sins are paid in full. You'll hear Miss Margene in a few moments sing that song. Number two, that being said, we have a new life in Christ. Therefore, repenting of our sin and believing in the work of Jesus or the gospel on the cross, he saves us from our sin, death, and hell. And then victory over death. Therefore, we have victory over spiritual death, physical death, and the second death because of the work of the Son and our faith in him. And then number four, that means that we have a home in heaven. Therefore, we go to heaven at death or the rapture where we live in victory with God forever. Heaven, someone said, what will heaven be like? I can tell them what Revelation 21 and 22 says, but we can sum it all up by saying heaven will be heaven. And then we're going to have a new body. Therefore, to inhabit heaven, we must have glorified, resurrected body of flesh, not of flesh and blood. There'll be no sickness, no sin, no death in heaven. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
No sin, sickness, and death. And the church, definitely at home too as well. Y'all say amen at home. All right, I see all the amens popping up on the screen. But anyway, also today we have a birthday. Saturday will be Caleb Smith's birthday. That will be Saturday the 18th. So let's give him a hand. And also I want to say thank you for your giving. The last 2 weeks you have graciously mailed in or dropped off your tithes and missions. I think we got given to the missions program the last couple of weeks, $275, and I got the total figures in my office, but given to the general fund was $2,805. And so I want to thank you. You're a giving church. We appreciate it and love you. Now tonight, Brother Glenn will be preaching in the 6 o'clock service, and we'll be going through it like we're doing this morning, okay? So, Brother Glenn, if you have time, you just come and give us a scripture reading, okay?
Yes, sir. All right. Our scripture reading this morning will be from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. The The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. And it says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Glenn. As we go to the Lord in prayer, I got some, praise reports would certainly be the resurrection of our Lord. Amen. Anybody else present got a praise report? Okay. Let me mention to you some things I do know about as far as prayer requests. We want to continue to pray for Brother Ray as he rehab. You're still doing rehab, Brother Ray?
I've got a nurse that comes once a week.
Okay, a nurse that comes to the house. And also for Miss Shebby and her rehab. And we want to pray for Jack. As many of you found out, Jack spent some time in the ER yesterday with AFib. And he's going to be going to the cardiologist in Tallahassee. Through telemedicine. Wow. I tell you what, telemedicine. And then pray for Miss Margene as she hopefully get her back surgery scheduled immediately after all this is over. And we want to pray for Cindy Woodward, Brother Frank's daughter that had cancer surgery. She had a bone scan Friday. I believe she got a CAT scan Monday. And then she goes to the oncology on Wednesday to get a plan of action. Okay? So remember her. How's Tony Huber doing? Is he still in chance? Or?
No, he's home. Yeah, he's doing much better.
And good.
Still got a couple of weeks of recovery to do, but thank the Lord he's doing well.
Well, good. We praise that. And Brother Wendell's sister, Ruby Tinsley, her husband, Russell, she spent a little time, I think, in the ER this week with her heart, and they didn't admit her. She's at home. And so remember them in your prayers, and also Joe and Kathy Weaver. Joe, Kathy, or Miss Inez's brother and sister-in-law, and also Marcus's aunt and uncle, and he's out of ICU. Can I get a praise there? Amen. With coronavirus, he's out of ICU on the floor, room on the floor. Okay. And Kathy Weaver, she's not in the hospital, but we want to pray for her as well. And then pray for all our healthcare workers, military, law enforcement, first responders. Don't forget to pray for our National Guard and pray for our president. I can guarantee you one thing, nothing he does, they're going to be satisfied with. So pray for all our national, state, and local leaders. Pray for all our pastors. Unless you're a pastor, you don't feel what we feel this morning. We want the congregation here, and it just kind of tears our heart out. And so pray for all the pastors today. And any other prayer requests from the congregation here? Okay. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we know that you are the great physician. Lord, we know that when you were on earth, you conquered death, sin, hell, and the grave. Sickness, victory over demons. You demonstrated that you have and are the Messiah. And so, Father, I know because you came out of the grave, Father, that though we might die physically, we'll never stay dead. We'll be alive evermore worshiping you. And Father, we thank you for the victory you gave us over death. And Father, I pray this morning that the world, as they search the 850% increase in the mental health hotline, Lord, I pray that the church will be stable in this time and be able to give them an answer about what's going on. I pray for your healing for these that we mentioned this morning on our prayer list. There are others we want to pray also too for Miss Margaret Hart. She continues to fall. She doesn't let Herbert and Melissa know when she wants to get up, and then she falls. It's just over and over. And I pray for Patricia and Rex and James and Herbert through all this. I know it tears their heart out. And Father, I lift that family up in your prayers as well. So today, Father, we want to thank you that we serve a risen Lord, that the tomb is empty and he lives in our heart. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people at home and in this building say amen. 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 All right. Brother Glenn's going to come and lead us in our congregational hymn for our worship, for our giving. And so if you're present here today, you're welcome to walk up if you haven't already and place your tithe and offering missions into the plate. And again, I appreciate the others that are sending it in. Trinity Baptist Church, P.O. Box 154, Thomasville, Georgia, 31799. So thank you. So Brother Glenn?
Yes, sir. All right. Page 134, and I'm going to back up a little bit. So if you want to come, if you haven't already given, and place your offering in the offering plate this morning as we sing 134, I know that my Redeemer liveth. You come and give as the Lord leads. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know eternal life he giveth, the grace and power are in his hand. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. I know his promise never faileth, the word he speaks, it cannot die. Though cruel death my flesh assaileth, yet I shall see. By and by, I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know true life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. I know my mansion he prepared. Thought for me he careth, and he at last will come for me. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in.
Last Sunday, and I still believe it, that God is using this to draw us closer to him. And I also think he's watching to see if it's fostering a greater prayer in our lives, because we've got lots to pray about as a result of this virus, y'all. soldiers mock his name. See his followers as they cry in disbelief. This could not be the reason that he came. See him realize his life is through. Feel the love burnt from his eyes. Behold the temple veil as it is torn in two. Hear the one on Calvary as he cries, paid in full. I've done the work I came to do. Paid in full. I've paid love's final price for you. When all hell tries to tell you that you never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. See his children torn between two ways. Some still choose to mock his name. Hear his followers now as they can boldly say, we are the reason that he came. See the ones who trust themselves alone to do what only Christ can do. Blood alone, we may approach the Father's throne and hear the words he calls to.
All right, be turning to 1 Corinthians 15, but while you're doing that, Miss Margene, I'm thinking you're getting mo' better and mo' better as we, you know, really, I mean, wow. And paid in full, you know, there are a group of people who call themselves Christians in the prosperity gospel that think Jesus didn't pay it all on the cross. He had to go to hell and suffer some more, and that is heretical. But we know when he said it is finished, it was finished. transaction complete. Go with me. By the way, before I get into the text, if you haven't seen Keith Thornton's post, I don't usually go to y'all's Facebook, but before I can get to the church page, some of your stuff pops up, and it either makes my day or ruins my day. But anyway, it pops up. But he had something, man, I tell you what, I responded and under the comment. I says, preach on, preacher. And so we will be ordaining Brother Keith when he gets back into the gospel ministry. Everybody say, raise your hand if you're in favor of it. All right. So Brother Keith, you get ready. I want to talk to you today about the plain proof of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 6, we have Paul's famous rendering of the resurrection of Christ. Now, let's read our text first, and then we'll go back and begin. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which ye also are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. I'll explain that. For I delivered unto you, first of all, of first importance, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, and then of the 12. And after that he was seen of above all 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present. But some are fallen asleep. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning, as we look at the evidence and proofs of the resurrection of our Lord. Lord, it is the plain proof. I mean, there's no way we can deny it and stay true to Scripture. And even the world today that makes fun of what we're doing here this morning, Father, I pray you prick their heart and lighten their minds to the truth that Jesus Christ is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one that came to die for their sins and send them to heaven. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. All right, Brother John, am I on lapel? Okay. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of the gospel and the Christian faith. If there's no resurrection, all else that we take for granted crumbles. No forgiveness. We're still in our sin, no faith. We might as well believe in that door back there. No salvation and no hope. We are like some in the world today with no hope, that just don't know what's going on. But no wonder that the resurrection of account and the Genesis account of Scripture is the two most attacked by Satan himself. Those are the two he attacks, Genesis 1 through 11 and the resurrection of our Lord. And I don't think it's by no mistake that it's Easter time and godless state governments are shutting down churches, can't even get in the parking lot. That's not by happenstance. So there are many proofs of the resurrection. Now, Paul here starts out in 1 Corinthians 15. A heresy had crept into the church at Corinth that their believer does not have a bodily resurrection. So Paul, proving that of the bodily resurrection of the believer, starts in the first few verses of chapter 15, proving the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to talk about our bodies that we're going to have one day. That glorified, resurrected body. He's going to tell us how we're going to get it. He tells us in chapter 15 what it's going to look at like, exactly what we're going to be able to do, and how all this is possible by God himself. So we believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus, and we also believe in the bodily resurrection of the believer. Amen? Because Christ came out of the grave. Now, there are many proofs of the resurrection that we could talk about today. You've heard me share with you the acrostic feat, F-E-A-T, the greatest feat that ever happened. And F stands for fact. E stands for the empty tomb. A stands for the resurrection appearances, some 40 in 40 days, some 11 resurrection appearances, seen up to 500 at one time. And then T stands for the transformation of the disciples and our transformation as well. Feat is the greatest feat ever accomplished. Why? But the proof of the resurrection goes deeper than that. And I'll get into our text in a minute. The folded head napkin and the grave clothes. Do you think a grave robber would have taken time to fold the head napkin? Do you think that a grave robber would have had time to unwrap Jesus and take him out? No, they would have took everything with them, right? His body was not stolen. By the way, as you read the Gospels, Jesus passed through that cocoon, if you will, of those grave clothes. He didn't mess them up coming out, just like me and you not going to mess up the grave coming out. And he just passed through that cocoon. And these pictures you see of the tomb being a mess with grave clothes all over here and there, I don't think that's biblical. Jesus just passed through. By the way, the biggest lie ever told to the religious leaders tried to bribe the soldiers, saying that the apostles came and stole his body away. The soldiers that were bribed by the religious leaders. And the body that was never found. There was never a dead body found. Now, a live body was found, amen? But there was never a dead body found. And then all the eyewitnesses, after Jesus' resurrection, look in verse 6, if you will. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are fallen asleep. Then he goes on, he appeared to all the disciples. I used to preach that he didn't appear to any lost people, but I had to be corrected on that because he did, because his own brothers and sisters didn't believe in him until they saw him at the resurrection. They were unbelievers when they saw him, but then they were converted when they saw him. So here we see, by the way, this verse 6, it says that seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. You see, 25 years after the resurrection of Christ, Paul penned 1 Corinthians 15. And 25 years after the resurrection, there were still some alive that had seen him. 25 years later. And we know we see him in a different way, but one day we're going to see him in person. So the martyrdom of the apostles, why would they go to their death for a lie? Why would they go to their death and be tortured like they were? And Peter, legend has he was crucified upside down because he was unworthy to be crucified like his Lord. And I understand that Peter's wife was also crucified. If you want to read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll see how each of the apostles died except John. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos and died an old man, just like Jesus told him he would in John chapter 24. But as we look at this, I want to share two hidden proofs of the resurrection. I often don't hear them preached much, and if we don't study them, we're going to miss a blessing. I call them the plain proof of the resurrection. First of all, the testimony of the saints. And then we're going to look at the testimony of the Scriptures. Testimony of the saints, verses 1 and 2. Look at that again. Moreover, brethren, I do declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you are also saved, you also received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. The testimony of the saints. The fact that the Christians have received the gospel, Paul said. You have believed in Jesus Christ, and you've been changed inside out. It's strong evidence of the power of the gospel, right? The power of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation and nothing else. And which same power was in the resurrected Lord. Notice what he said there in verse 1. The church is living evidence of the resurrection. Paul preached it. They received it. They believed it. And they stand in it. They stand in it firmly in position in Christ in the gospel. They stand in it. That's their position. And they're saved. The just for the unjust. Amen. They stand. I wish I had the vocabulary of Brother John Primit back there and explain to you better what it means to stand in it. Maybe Brother Glenn tonight can elaborate on that. To stand in it. We're there. You know, we ain't going to be taken away, right? We're in Christ. That's our position. And it won't be taken away. But then note the qualifier. He said in verse 2, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, what? Unless you have believed in vain. Unless you have believed in vain. People take that and they say, well, look, I can believe and then I can quit believing. You know, I can believe in Christ, but then I can decide to not have any faith anymore and just go my merry way. or even some even teach, I don't believe in the gospel, but I'm saved. I mean, that's even more ridiculous, right? One must hold to the right gospel is what Paul said. Look what he said there again in verse 2. He says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, right? Unless you have believed in vain. This does not teach that true believers lose their salvation, but it's a strong warning against non-saving faith. He says, unless your faith is vain, it's useless. And there's a lot of people today in the so-called church that are walking around with a useless faith because they don't believe in the atonement. They don't believe in Christ died for our sin. They don't believe they're sinners. They don't believe they must repent. And so they have a useless faith. A worthless faith. And their new life and the fact that they continue is evidence they were saved. Do you see that? Paul said, what? You stand in it. You continue. Unmovable. Believing in the gospel. You see, I've always taught the church that after conversion comes continuation. Continuation is an evidence that you have a conversion experience. Right? You know, the Bible teaches that those who are saved are kept by the power of God and will persevere to the end. You know, I think it, I don't know. I've wrestled with this my whole life, Brother Glenn. Those that say we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, but then they go through their life trying to work to keep it. Right? I mean, there's something wrong there. I'm not saying they're not saved. If anybody says that tonight, Brother Glenn will have to say it. But I'm not saying they're not saved, but what I am saying is, folks, you don't work to get it and you don't work to keep it, right? You work because you are saved. So that brings up a question. What is a useless, worthless, non-saving faith? Well, I want to take it to three New Testament passages. The first one is in Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus said, and we'll cover this as we go through the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, verse 21, I'll give you time to get there. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Boy, that about thins out the herd, don't it? Right? He that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? And then, notice what Jesus says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. That doesn't mean that he does not know the names of lost people. I never knew you. The word know there, or knew, is talking about a relationship. He says, I never knew you. You haven't been on my radar when it comes to salvation. I never knew you. It's not like I knew you and then you quit believing, right? It's not like I knew you, but oops, I can't keep you saved. He says, I never knew you. That ought to make a Baptist out of you, right? I mean, even the backslidden Baptists don't even give or don't even witness ought to shout over that, right? I never knew you. And then 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, I'm talking about a useless, worthless, non-saving faith. If we keep in memory the gospel that Paul preached to them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. 1 John chapter 2, 18 and 19. I've used this many times in my false teachers that were in, claimed to be Christians, that were in the flock. But notice what Paul says. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, that the Antichrist shall come, the Antichrist, the one. Even now there are many Antichrists. There are many counterfeits. There are many people who hate Christ and go against him. There are many Antichrists. Whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. By the way, I got to stop right there because I just remembered what the Pope said the other day. He said that coronavirus is caused by climate change. Caused by climate. Because we did not tend to the environment, creation is angry. I'm telling you, creation is angry, but it's not over climate change. Now, notice, I'm sorry for interrupting my thought right there. They went out from us. Who is they? The false teachers in that context. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have, no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they may be made manifest that they were not all of us. And then the last text I'm going to share with you is on this point is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Go there with me. Hebrews chapter 10, one of the five warning passages in the book of Hebrews. Notice what it says in Hebrews 10, 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk says the same thing. That's what turned Martin Luther, the great reformer, around. You know, Pope is not the head of the church. I don't have to live and earn my way to heaven. The just shall live by faith. Now notice what he says. But if any man draws back, my soul shall find no pleasure in him. But we are not, notice what Paul, and I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, he said, but we are not of them, what, who draw back to perdition. They had a useless, workless, vain faith. But of them that believe, what, to the saving of the soul. See, true believers will believe to the saving of the soul, amen? And we're not going to be of those that draw back, you know, into perdition. So the endurance of the church and the saints for 2,000 years is evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact that we're here this morning is evidence of the resurrection of Christ. Your belief, your life, and your presence here this morning as you gather around in your living room looking on Facebook Live, that's evident that Jesus lives. Amen? On the other hand, a worthless, useless, non-saving faith that Paul talked about does not continue. Why? There's no root. So what is the first plain proof of the resurrection? It is the testimony of the saints. We could say the testimony of the church, but I want it to alliterate. Okay. The second plain proof of the resurrection, verses 3 and 4. And it could go into 6 and 7, but I'm not. The testimony of the scriptures. Notice what he said in verse 3 and 4. For I have delivered unto you first of all, first importance, that which I also received, that how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. Notice that Paul says, it was given unto me, and I'm sharing it with you. He was not the origination of the gospel. The gospel came from God in heaven, amen, in the form of Jesus Christ. Paul didn't make it up. You know, and all he did was expound the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament fulfillment of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, according to the scriptures, we must never depart from what the scriptures say. Amen? And that's what he's saying. Now, let me say this. The scriptures predicted the death and resurrection according to the scriptures. There are two scriptures that were written some 700, 800, some say 900 years before crucifixion. Even before the cross was even invented. And that first one is in a messianic psalm in Psalm 16, 8 and 10. And then we're going to go to Isaiah 53. Let's go there quickly. We're almost through. Psalm 16, 8 through 10. It's called one of the messianic psalms in the book of Psalms. Notice what it says beginning in verse 8, Psalm 16. I have set the Lord all. Now this is David speaking, but he's also talking about a prophetic revelation yet in the future of the Messiah, who was the seed of David. Notice what he said. I have set the Lord always before me because he is my right hand. I shall not be moved. Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. What? My flesh also shall rest in hope. How can your flesh rest in hope outside of the future resurrection of the body? Now notice what he said, verse 10. For thou wilt, now he's talking to God, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. The word there is Sheol, for the grave. Now David would be left in the grave, okay? But he's talking prophetically about his seed who is to come. This is a messianic psalm. He says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in the grave. I say it that way, in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thy what? Holy One. Is it capitalized in your Bible? Thy Holy One to see corruption. And what David is saying prophetically about Christ here is God would not let his body be in the grave over 3 days. and it will not see corruption. See, the Jews believed on 4 days the body decayed. That's what Martha and Mary, Lazarus, believed, right? Lord, you're late. You know, he got there in 3 days, but he was late. Well, it might have been 4 days. I can't remember. You remember? Yeah, he stinketh. Well, you know, God can overcome corruption. Amen? And so what he's saying here is, he shall see. Now, for thou wilt not leave my soul in the grave or Sheol or hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. You have a prophetic psalm here about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now go with me to Isaiah 53:10. We're almost there. In fact, being the rest of you are not here, I might go to 1 o'clock. But, oh, they're walking out now. You can't see them. Go to Isaiah 53, verse 10. And you know what Isaiah is, a suffering servant. And 53 is about the crucifixion. It's about how the Messiah was going to die. And that's ripped out of the Jewish Bibles. Right, Brother John? They don't even read it. Don't even teach it in their synagogues. Because they believe the suffering servant was Israel. But folks, it's not talking about a nation. It's talking about a person. Notice in Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Talking about the cross. He shall see his seed. Amen. I mean, I'm about to get out of my white coat here. He shall see his seed. Wait a minute. They're going to kill him and he's going to see his seed? Who is his seed? His seed is the apostles. His seed is the church all through the ages. He's going to see his seed. Right? He shall prolong his days. That's speaking of the resurrection. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And also, before we go, all four gospel accounts testify to the resurrection, as well as this passage in 1 Corinthians 15. You know, the Muslims worship Allah. Muhammad died in Medina in 632 A.D. But yet they go to visit his tomb by the thousands every year. And guess what? Muhammad is still in his tomb, right? They can't go to his tomb and celebrate the resurrection and life, right? But we come here today celebrating not a dead Savior, but a living Savior. We don't come to mourn his death. We come to celebrate his resurrection and his life. Can I get a good old Baptist amen there? In contrast, the church that does Jesus Christ celebrates his resurrection today. That's why we meet on Sunday. That's why we meet on Sunday. The Saturday was the Sabbath for Israel. The Lord's Day of the New Creation is why we meet on Sunday. And every time we come together, whether by Facebook Live or in presence, and I hope it'll be soon. I hope it'll be May. I hope. And every time we come together on Sunday, this is why it's needful that you be here, because you are telling the rest of the people in the church and the world that you believe in the resurrected Lord. And so we come here. And so, and by the way, not only just on Sunday, but every time we observe the believer's baptism and the believer's the Lord's Supper, we testify to the resurrection. What? He went buried, dead, coming in the waters. What? He come up. What? Life. That's what we symbolize in the baptism. Every time we baptize somebody, we're saying we believe in the resurrection. And then the Lord's Supper. You say, what about that, Brother Ken? How are we celebrating the resurrected Lord? Remember what Jesus said? I will not partake of this cup till we get to the kingdom of heaven. Right? So he's testifying to his resurrection. He is risen. Two plain proofs. The testimony of the saints and the testimony of the scriptures. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.